Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. A congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 227, the stanzas 1 and 2. O Lord of hosts, how lovely thy tabernacles are. For them my heart is yearning in banishment afar. My soul is longing, fainting, thy sacred courts to see. And what follows? Psalter 227, the stanzas 1 and 2.
Thank you.
the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Daniel 9, the verses 1 through 23. First, we will read the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Daniel 9, the first 23 verses. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years, whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord God, to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God, and made my confession, and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him, and to them that keep his commandments, we have sinned and have committed iniquity, and have done wickedly, and have rebelled, even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. And neither have we hearkened unto thy servants the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces, as at this day, to the men of Judah, and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and unto all Israel that are near and that are far off, through all the countries, whether thou hast driven them because of their trespass, that they have trespassed against thee. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgivenesses, though we have rebelled against him. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God, to walk in His laws, which He said before us by His servants the prophets. Yea, all Israel have transgressed Thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey Thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against Him. And He hath confirmed His words which He spake against us and against our judges that judged us, by bringing upon us a great evil. For under the whole heaven hath not been done as hath been done upon Jerusalem, as it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil is come upon us, yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand Thy truth. Therefore hath the Lord watched upon the evil and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all His works which He doeth, for we obeyed not His voice. And now, O Lord our God, that has brought Thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and has gotten Thee renown as at this day, we have sinned, we have done wickedly, O Lord. According to all Thy righteousness, I beseech Thee, let Thine anger and Thy fury be turned away from Thy city Jerusalem, Thy holy mountain, because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and Thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. And now, therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of Thy servant and His supplications, and cause Thy face to shine upon Thy sanctuary that is desolate, for the Lord's sake. O my God, incline Thy ear and hear. Open Thine eyes and behold their desolations, and the city which is called by Thy name. For we do not present our supplications before Thee for our righteousness, but for Thy great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not. For Thine own sake, O my God, for Thy city and Thy people are called by Thy name. And whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God, for the holy mountain of my God, yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore understand the matter and consider the vision. Thus far the scripture reading. Let us try to ask the Lord for His indispensable blessing. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, when by renewal on this Sabbath day, we attempt to open our unclean lips and approach unto Thee with all our sins, with all our needs, and with our manifold blessings, which Thou hast still left in this dark and evil time, and that it may please Thee by Thy Spirit to grant a little unto us and our children of what Thou hast given unto Thy servant Daniel when he was given to bow his knees and when he was given to present his prayer and supplications before Thee with a deep impression of Thy greatness, of Thy majesty, of Thy righteousness, and of Thy mercy, but also with a deep felt need for His people, for the city of Jerusalem that lieth in ruins, with a sincere confession, with a true, with an upright confession of His sins and of the sins of His people, where they have not hearkened unto Thee and unto Thy prophets, but where they have continued in their sin. And to that end, Thou hast sent the enemy upon them, and the temple and the city were destroyed, and they were led captives into that faraway country. Lord, then we have heard it, that a Daniel was given to plead for Thy honor and for Thy glory. He has received that low place, that was not his own doing, but that was the work of the Holy Spirit in the heart and in the life of Daniel. And Lord, each time we draw nigh unto Thee, then we need that same Spirit, the Spirit of prayer and of supplication and of thanksgiving. Then we need the servant of the Father to be our praying and thanking High Priest at Thy right hand, whom Thou always heareth, Lord. Then we need each time by renewal to receive a profound impression of our manifold needs. The temporal needs are great, the spiritual needs for our soul, they are the greatest, Lord. To that end, may we be given to humbly beg of Thee, that Thou may look down upon us and our children, poor sinners, in the sun of Thine eternal love. It is the third last Sabbath day of the year. It all tells us that we are all hastening to the end. We may still be in the precious day of grace, and each day then our need only becomes greater. Oh Lord, and may it please Thee to pour out Thy Holy Spirit upon young and old, that among young and old they may be converted by Thee unto Thee, to be placed in their guilt, and as poor beggars to be taught the prayer of the publican, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Oh, poor publicans that become an Advent people, oh, with that longing and desire, oh, that need for that Christ child, for the pardoning of their sins, and to be restored into that blessed communion, Lord. May there be such an Advent people amongst us, by the first time and by renewal, and wilt thou grant those holy exercises, that pleading and that wrestling with thee with an acknowledgement that we have not deserved anything, all sinned away, that a Daniel was given to confess so many times, and yet a great need for thee, Lord. Bless thy word to that end. Wilt thou help the consistory? May the labors be blessed. It is the work of thy Holy Spirit to bring the message into the heart, and then it shall bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. Wilt thou remember and help fathers and mothers with the instruction of their children? May their eyes be upon thee, and may fruits be seen. Remember our Christian school one more week in this year, for the younger children, the older students, they are called to study at home. Wilt thou graciously grant thy help this last week in school and in the home? Wilt thou remember all those that labored therein and labored therewith? And may we all be given to commend the school unto thee, Lord. Remember thy church, and thou shalt remember thy church, and because it is a church that thy dear Son has purchased with his blood and has received as an inheritance upon his labors, the established churches. Remember our theological school, the instructors, the students. Remember all mission work when thy word may be brought to the ends of the earth. Remember our mission field. Remember thy two servants. Remember the team. Remember them that are studying the language. Wilt thou make it easy that in due time that he may become a sower of the word. Lord, take the veil off the Jewish nation, and wilt thou be mindful of the persecuted church. Wilt thou remember the manifold needs amongst us, the mother that is undergoing surgery in this evening hour. Wilt thou help the physician, help her out, and help her through. May the means be blessed. May the calling be sanctified. Remember all under the physician's care. We commend unto thee all the mourning ones, widowers, widows, orphans, those that have brought children and other dear ones to the cemetery. Wilt thou continue to uphold them? Wilt thou remember all of our elderly ones that have come to the evening of their life? Remember them for body and for soul. Remember the handicapped ones amongst them, us with their difficulties, difficulties of the body, of the mind, then undoubtedly many times discouraged, times that they cannot understand it. Ah, Lord, may they be given to bow their knees and tell thee all their troubles, their desires, O wilt thou remember those that care for them. Remember the crosses, the burdens of prodigal sons and prodigal daughters. Lord, remember in this evening hour, wilt thou grant strength, light, love, courage, all that is necessary to bring thy word, and also what we need to receive thy word. Wilt thou remember all those in thy house, those in the sanctuary, those in the basement. Wilt thou remember all those that may listen from their homes. Lord, be then mindful of us in this evening. Graciously take away everything that could be a hindrance. Wilt thou bind the devil. Be a wonder-doing God. Grant tokens of thy favor. Oh, do answer and visit us. Pardon us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 431, the stanzas 3, 4, 5, and 6. Hear, my children, hear. Saith the Lord that bore thee, and never serve nor fear gods of wood or stone. I am God alone, a worship and adore me. And what follows, 431, 3 through 6. in this evening hour with the help of the Lord, then we wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day number 45, the question and answers 116 through 119. Question 116. Why is prayer necessary for Christians? Answer. Because it is the chief part of thankfulness which God requires of us, and also because God will give us grace and Holy Spirit to those only who with sincere desires continually ask them of Him and are thankful for them. Question 117. What are the requisites of that prayer which is acceptable to God and which He will hear? Answer. First, that we from the heart pray to the one true God only, who hath manifested Himself in His Word. For all things He hath commanded us to ask of Him. Secondly, that we rightly and thoroughly know our need and misery, that so we may deeply humble ourselves in the presence of His divine majesty. Thirdly, that we be fully persuaded that He, notwithstanding that we are unworthy of it, well, for the sake of Christ our Lord, certainly hear our prayer, as He has promised us in His Word. Question 118. What hath God commanded us to ask of Him? Answer. All things necessary for soul and body, which Christ our Lord hath comprised in that prayer, He Himself has taught us. Question 119. What are the words of that prayer? Answer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Lord's Day number 45 speaks of true prayer in the life of the Christian, with four thoughts. In the first place, the necessity of prayer. In the second place, the blessing of prayer. In the third place, the requisites of prayer. And in the fourth place, the needs in prayer. A true prayer in the life of the Christian. The necessity in 116, the blessing also in 116, the requisites in 117, and the needs in prayer in 118 and 119. A beloved congregation, Lord's Day number 45, that continues with a part of gratitude. And then the instructors in the part of gratitude And then they speak of the law, and they speak of prayer. And then we have heard the last time in the last question of Lord's Day number 44, question 115. Why will God then have the Ten Commandments so strictly preached, since no man in this life can keep them? And then the instructors, that answer tells that those young men, Zacharias, Ursinus, and Caspar Olivianus, that they were on the right school. And then first it was stressed that all our lifetime, that we may more and more know our sinful nature. In the second place, a more earnest in seeking Christ for the pardoning of our sins. And then in the third place, then we read that we constantly endeavor and pray to God for the grace of the Holy Spirit, that we may become more and more conformable to the image of God, till we arrive at the perfection proposed to us in a life to come. Then we can see how that the instructors, that they come to prayer concerning the holy law of God. We have also heard of the law in the first part of the catechism, in the part of misery, that it was used as a mirror, and as I read in Galatians 4, as a schoolmaster, to bring poor sinners to the cross of Christ. And now in the part of gratitude, then the instructors have seemed it fit that they would go from commandment to commandment, and that the true children of God, then so necessary, so precious Christ in his threefold office. The instructors, they have also spoken of prayer in the first part of our catechism, where there were those questions whether there was a way for such a great sinner as I am, that there is a way to be delivered. And nevertheless, the instructors, they have explained prayer more broadly in the part of gratitude. And now in this Lord's Day, then it is asked why prayer is required. It is commanded in the life of a Christian. When the Lord works, then in that beginning time, then you do not have to command and require for such a soul to pray. When we think of Saul on the way to Damascus, when the Lord has stopped that persecutor, and then the Lord has said to Ananias, "Behold, he prayeth." When it pleases the Lord by his Spirit to show unto us that we are dwelling in the city of destruction, that our sins are so great and manifold, that we are lost, then such a soul does not have to be reminded that they need to pray. Then their life is a life of prayer. The daytime, even the night watches, during their work, what petitions are sent up, that the Lord may convert them, as the Lord has converted all his people. But alas, oh, the instructors in the part of gratitude, then they are given to explain and declare, according to the holy word of God,
the necessity of prayer in the life of a Christian. Because alas, there can be those times that it becomes so still that they can leave the Lord on His place so easy. Oh, there is still duty. There is still religion. But that fervent supplication and that thanksgiving, that is so missed. We have read together out of the book of Daniel, the 9th chapter, the prayer of Daniel in captivity. Then we have heard in that prayer the uprightness, the depth, the sincerity, the reality. Oh, that tender confession of sin. We have heard that many a times that he was given to confess. And if there was a man, a saint in the Bible that had a close and a holy life, then it certainly was Daniel. And yet, when he understood that the 70 years were coming to an end, oh, Daniel has learned that holy art of turning the promise of the Lord into prayer. Then how fervently he was given to pray. And then the instructors ask, why is prayer necessary for Christians? Then the instructor is speaking, Christians with a capital letter, those are the true people of God. Of course, that does not exclude, if it is necessary for those who have been wrought upon and who have tasted of the precious things of the Lord in the context of the catechism, then it is a child of God that has been restored into that communion with the Lord. We have heard that the instructors, that they have spoken of precious things, of the leadings of the Lord. Oh, surely, if it is necessary for Christians, then it is also very necessary for the unconverted, that they may be given to cry unto the heavens, that the Lord may convert them, as the Lord has converted all His people. Why is prayer necessary for Christians? Because it is the chief part of thankfulness which God requires of us. Thus then the instructors, they are immediately given to direct our attention that it is prayer in the part of thankfulness concerning our prayers. Then how a great part, and it is true, the needs, they are great, they are manifold, 'tis our forethought. But the instructors are given to speak of prayer, that it is thanksgiving, where the child of God may be given. Ah, the child learns that they need the spirit of prayer and of supplication and of thanksgiving each time by renewal. Paul has written to the Romans in Romans 8 verse 26, and the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we ought to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. We have heard out of Daniel 9 that a Daniel, that he has received a rich measure of the spirit of prayer and of supplication, because it is the chief part of thankfulness which God requires of us, prayer, that is the breath of the soul. a prayer, and that is when the child of God may unburden his heart in prayer, and then that sweet communion may be experienced, and then prayer, that is the secret of holiness. When we read the scriptures, the life of the saints, and when we read that the saints, that they were praying saints, then they were richly blessed. But we read so many portions also of scripture that prayer is not mentioned, and then it did not go so well, because it is the chief part of thankfulness which God requires of us. The Lord has a right over His creatures. We are His creatures. We are His handiwork. The Lord grants many blessings, then He has a right for His creatures, that they are given to bow, that they are given to acknowledge, that they come to Him with all their needs. In our deep fall, how deeply we have fallen. But now concerning the child of God, they have been wrought upon by the Holy Spirit. They have experienced such blessed things. How often they have experienced when they went with their empty sacks to that greater Zephaniah Peninnah, that was the new name of Joseph, that the Lord has so liberally provided, that the Lord has not dealt according to their sins, a child of God. Then they learned that He is the God of providence and that He is the God of grace, that the Lord requires of us, He has a right, that He may be praised, glorified, and honored by us. Then in the scriptures, what an exhortations and what a promises there are. In Psalm 50, verse 15, a call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. That precious text in the Song of Solomon 2 verse 14, O my dove, that art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs, let me hear thy voice and see thy countenance, for thy countenance is comely and thy voice is sweet. In the scriptures, then prayer is called by many names to declare the depth. In Psalm 34, verse 6, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and delivered him out of all his trouble. In Psalm 38, verse 9, Lord, all my desire is before thee, and my groaning is not hid. In Psalm 130, then there is a crying out of the depths. In Psalm 42, the panting of the heart after the water brooks. In 1 Samuel 1, verse 15, a Hannah was given to pour out her soul. Then in Daniel 9, then we read of many different terms, because we read already in verse 3, to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God, congregation. What a blessing it is that the Lord has exhorted, and that He allows, it is true. Ah, the instructors, they have said, 'tis required, it is commanded. Oh, what a privilege and what a blessing it is that there is a May. Just think, congregation, with all our needs, the trials of life, the temporal needs, but above all concerning our soul, if there was not no place that we could bend our knees, no one to go by to, then we would have reason to despair. Oh, what a precious exhortation. That is our second thought. The blessing of prayer. Because then we read further in answer 116. Because God will give us grace and Holy Spirit to those only who with sincere desires continually ask them of Him and are thankful for them. Then do you hear, congregation? Then the instructors, they are using very strong language when they speak of prayer and the part of thankfulness, and also because God will give us grace and Holy Spirit to those only who with sincere desires, then of course we must understand that this answer and the part of gratitude, that it is spoken to the true child of God, because we read in Psalm 14, the verses 2 and 3, that there is none that seek for the Lord, because God will give us grace and Holy Spirit to those only who with sincere desires continually ask them of Him. Then what an examination for the true child of God, people of God. How many blessings that we receive which we do not so sincerely ask. Blessings, oh, it is true, concerning our temporal needs, food and drink, our labors in an outward way, then we are given to lay them before the Lord. But if we are honest, then many of our prayers, they cannot really go by the name of prayer. If we lay our prayers beside the prayer of Daniel, it is true, there are those times when the child of God may experience that the Spirit is granted unto them, the Spirit of prayer and of supplication. Ah, that as beggars, they may have a place at His footstool those times when the heart may be humbled, when the tears may begin to flow, a profound impression that our sins are great and manifold, that we are unthankful creatures. Nevertheless, the strong language, the instructors use it for the child of God, for examination, and that it may bring them to prayer. Well, give us grace and Holy Spirit to those only who with sincere desires continually ask them of Him. Thus, by renewal, that word sincere, the uprightness of heart, ask them of Him and are thankful for them. Thus, the instructors, when they begin to speak of prayer, then they stress in a special way the part of thanksgiving and to be thankful for them. Oh, people of God, what a guilt. What unthankful creatures we are. What a privilege, what a blessing John Flavel, he has said concerning prayer, what begins not with prayer, that seldom ends well. And Thomas Goodwin, another Puritan, when we read the life of our old fathers, when we read in the time of the Reformation, it is true, those reformers, they had nothing of self, it was all a gift. But when we read what a prayer life they had, how they were given to storm the throne of grace, how they were given to wrestle with her God. Even Queen Mary, as she has said, that she feared the prayers of John Knox more than an army of 10,000. What a testimony concerning the power of prayer. With sincere desires continually ask them of him and are thankful for them. What an examples we have in the Bible to encourage the church, all of us, to be much at the throne of grace. The children of Israel and Egypt, they have groaned, they have wept, they have cried, and the Lord has heard. Joshua, the sun and moon has stood still. A Gideon, he has asked for a sign 2 times, and he has received it. What a beautiful example of Hannah. As she has prayed so often, come to the tabernacle, was pestered, and then she has sought a place in seclusion, poured out her heart. She has received her Samuel and more children, and Elijah on Mount Carmel for that little cloud. 7 times the Lord has answered a Jonah in the belly of the fish. In the New Testament, how many have come to the Lord Jesus Christ, the leper, in Matthew 8, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean. The centurion in Matthew 8, as an unworthy one, the Canaanitish woman. Think of the day of Pentecost, we read specifically in Acts 1, the verses 13 and 14, that the church was together in prayer and supplication in one accord, and 3,000 were converted. Acts 8, Peter in prison between the guards, but then we read specifically that prayer was made for him by the church of God. Thus, the great blessing of prayer. Our third thought, the requisites of prayer, let us first sing. Psalter 188, 1, 3, and 4. Make haste, O my God, to deliver, I pray, O Lord, to my rescue, make haste. Let those who would harm me be filled with dismay, and in their own folly disgraced. And what follows, 188, 1, 3, and 4. Thank you.
to true prayer and the life of the Christian. The necessity of prayer, the blessing of prayer, and now thirdly, the requisites of prayer. What does that word mean, boys and girls? Then in our third point, we are called upon to consider the marks of real and true prayer. And then the instructors are given to ask what are the requisites of that prayer which is acceptable to God. That implies that there is much prayer that is not acceptable to God. I read in Psalm 66, verse 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, that the Lord will not hear. James has written in James 4, verse 3, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye might consume it upon your lusts. I read in Proverbs 15, verse 8, that the sacrifice of the wicked is abomination unto the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. Have we ever been troubled and exercised with that text? That the sacrifice of the wicked, have we ever become that wicked one? That the sacrifice of the wicked is abomination unto the Lord. When we consider our third point, then how necessary it is, those disciples in Luke 11, verse 1, they have said, Lord, teach us to pray. And now our third point, that is for further uncovering, but that is also for instruction. And then the instructors in this answer, then we read first that we from the heart pray to the one true God only. Thus, the instructors begin that it must be a matter of the heart. When we consider our words, when we consider our thoughts, then how often it can be that in prayer, because the devil knows the power of prayer in the life of the living church. And to that end, it is the grace of prayer that he shall attack many a times. Then even concerning our thoughts, our words, then even during prayer, what a wandering thoughts there can be. Then how necessary, all for the church of God, we hope to hear it later in this answer, that servant of the Father, whose prayers were perfect, who were always heard, and now he sitteth at the right hand of the Father to pray for his people. In John Bunyan's book, The Holy War, we now have more time together, family circles, and then read together fathers and mothers out loud in the midst of the family circle,
and now and then pause and speak about what you are reading. Then John Bunyan, then he has written of man's soul was created perfectly, but it was taken by Diabolus, by the devil, and that people has come in great want. And then John Bunyan, then he has written so beautifully that they have written a letter which they would send to Lord Shaddai, that is the Lord. And now they have taken that letter and brought it first to a son, that he may delete some, add and correct, and bring it to his father. Thus in the first place, that it must be a matter of the heart, not part of our heart, not a divided heart, but our whole heart. Lord, teach us to pray, and that it is a prayer to the only true God, who has manifested himself in his holy word. It is true. From the realm of nature, from creation, then we can see that there is a God. But who that God truly is, his attributes, that is fully declared in God's holy word. When the instructors are given to say, to the only true God, it was in the time of the Reformation, because the Roman Catholics are taught that the Lord is so holy, so great, that sinful creatures cannot and may not approach to such a holy God. Then they need one that stands in between. And they are taught that they must pray to the saints, that the saints may bring those petitions to the Lord. I have read of a little boy, how old he was, I do not know. He was in the Roman Catholic Church, but he was privileged that he may attend a Reformed school. And then one day, that little boy, he met his priest. And then the priest is stressed that as a little boy, that he cannot pray unto that great God, but that he must pray through the Virgin Mary. That little boy, he was well taught. And then he said very respectfully, "Priest, I have read in the gospel that when Mary and Joseph went up to Jerusalem, that they lost their son, and it took 3 days before they have found Jesus. If the Virgin Mary could not keep, did not know where her son was when she was upon earth, priest, tell me, then how shall she be able to take care and hear of a little boy upon the earth?" Thus that little child was well taught. Then further, to the one true God only, who hath manifested himself in his word. Thus congregation, when we bend our knees in this evening, what a God do we pray to? What impressions do we have? Is it only a God of justice? Is it only a God of mercy? Is it a great God or is it a small God? Oh, we have heard out of the prayer of Daniel, oh, what a profound respect and reverence he had for his God. And a Daniel could say, my God, the Old Testament, it was through those sacrifices that pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ who would come in the fullness of time. And then further, for all things he hath commanded us to ask of him, secondly, that we rightly and thoroughly know our need and misery. That is so necessary. Sometime it has been said that need that teaches us to pray, but congregation, there can come the greatest need, and it is true. Then there can be much emotion and much feeling, and then we can think that we have a true prayer. But if the Lord does not grant his spirit, then it shall soon ebb away. Thus, the necessity that we know our need, that it is bound upon our heart. And now the instructors, they have used two words, our need and our misery. Concerning our temporal needs, they are manifold. And what a privilege and what a blessing it is when we may come with those needs, when we may lay them before the Lord, and when we may be given to experience a special answers upon prayer in the way of his divine providence. Not enough for a never-ending eternity, nevertheless, what a privilege and what a blessing and what an encouragement it can be in this dark and evil world that the Lord still knows of us and that he provides for us and our children. And now the instructors, they have used the words need and misery. It is true. Much temporal misery in this world, the fruit of our deep fallen Adam. In Job 14, verse 1, I read, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble, but young and old. Tell me now in this evening, what is now the greatest misery of fallen mankind? That we have been banished from the presence of the Lord. As I read in Ephesians 2 verse 12, that we are aliens, separated from God, without God, without Christ, and without hope in the world. Then we see in this answer the necessity of the work of the Holy Spirit, and that we may come to a knowledge of our misery, that we may become a true seeker, that we may learn that we can never satisfy justice. Ah, that is an Advent people. That is a missing people. That is a longing people. That is a desiring people. Then they are given to ask that they may experience the wonderful things of the Lord, to experience what it is to be saved and to be delivered from all our sins. a further, a so that we may, that is based upon the knowledge of our need and of our misery, that so we may deeply humble ourselves in the presence of divine majesty. We think of the scriptures. Oh, what a beautiful examples we have of that humbling we have heard in the past week of an Abraham from Genesis 18, verse 27, that he was given to confess that he was dust and ashes. I read of the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 6, when in a vision he was given to behold those cherubims with that humility, because with two wings they covered their faces with two. They covered their feet with two, they did fly. And they were given to cry out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts," and that we may deeply humble ourselves. Ah, the Lord has a people that learns that they can never come low enough, that they can never bow low enough, and humble ourselves in the presence of His divine majesty. Thus that means, congregation, in prayer, that we appear before the Lord in a special way, that we appear in the presence of His divine majesty. And further, thirdly, that we be fully persuaded that He, that speaks of true saving faith, I read in Hebrews 11, verse 6, "He that cometh to God must believe that He is and a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." We read of an Abram in Romans 4, verse 21, that he was fully persuaded that the Lord, what He has promised, that He would give. Thus it speaks of that true saving faith, but the exercise thereof, that in prayer, when a child of God in a lowly station with their manifold needs, when he may be given to ask, that faith may be an exercise. Ah, then I hear that Father in Mark 9, verse 29, who has said, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." We shall not broaden it out further. Notwithstanding that we are unworthy of it, we have mentioned that centurion in Matthew 8. He has sent his servants concerning his sick servant, and when he has heard that Jesus was coming, he has sent another servant to say that he was not worthy that the Lord would come under his roof. Well, for the sake of Christ, we read of the disciples in John 16, the verses 23 and 24. Those disciples had so much to learn that Christ has said, "Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name." And then he was given to declare the necessity. Thus the instructors are given to impress that in prayer, that it is only possible that the Lord shall hear and answer. There's a difference. Hear and answer prayer only for the sake of the finished work of Christ as the servant of the Father. And then our instructors have added, "our Lord." That shows the sincerity that the child of God is given to confess that he has chosen the Lord to be his Lord. Certainly, hear our prayers as He has promised us in His Word. Our last thought, the needs in prayer. What hath God commanded us to ask of Him? All things. What an encouragement, congregation. All things. Necessary for soul and body could be asked. May we now only ask for our bare necessities. What does the Scripture say? Hannah, she has received a husband. Husband has given her much love. But she desired the blessing of a child. And she was not put to shame. We think of fathers and mothers, sometimes also their boys and girls. They come to their father and mother and ask for more than their necessities. Something they could use, something they desire. Thereby their father and mother is honored. And then, of course, the boy and girl must leave it to father. Whether father and mother should give it, whether it is good, whether it is the time, all things necessary for soul and body. What shall it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his never-dying soul? We read in the Scriptures, which Christ, our Lord, hath comprised in that prayer He Himself has taught us. And now in the coming Lord's Day, when the Lord grants it, then the instructors, they go through the Lord's Prayer, the address, the petitions, and the doxology, the necessity of prayer, of true prayer, sincere prayer, upright prayer. There shall be people in heaven that have never owned the Bible, that have never learned to read, that have only heard the Word. But there shall not be one in heaven who was not truly prayed. Because when the Lord works by His Spirit, then we become a praying people and congregation. If anything is needful in our day, under the Lord's solemn speaking, that is true, upright, fervent, persevering, and sincere prayer, that under the Lord's solemn speaking, that above all things, that it may please the God of all grace to work lovingly and powerfully by His Holy Spirit, that His kingdom may come, may it be our prayer after today when the Lord gives it and when the Lord spares us two more Lord's days. And then here shall soon come to an end. May we be given to beg the Lord that in the remaining time that the Lord may remember us with His favor that He bears unto His people. And now concerning the answering of prayer, then I read in Isaiah 66 verse 2, but to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite heart and that trembleth at my word. Amen. Let us close. Lord, then Thou hast granted unto us and our children another Lord's Day. For a fourth of the congregation, they were called to remain in their home. We humbly ask Thee for a blessing upon what was heard. And Lord, then we have heard an explanation of true and upright prayer. And then we have many reasons to be ashamed and to come in the guilt, and that we may be given to ask Thee, Lord, wilt Thou forgive all the sins of my prayers, and wilt Thou look upon me in the sun of Thine eternal love. Wilt Thou remember us in the furtherance of this week. What this week shall hold in, 'tis hidden for us, known unto Thee. May we be given to lay it all before Thee, that Thou may remember us in the home, remember the mothers with the children, remember at school, remember at work, remember on the way. Lord, keep us from an unexpected, but above all, from an unprepared death. Wilt Thou grant a prayer for one another? May there be much intercession. Lord, wilt Thou guide our thoughts, our words, and our deeds? Wilt Thou keep us from sin and temptation? We may thank Thee for everything that Thou hast yet given. Thou hast yet crowned the day with Thy goodness. And may we now also be given to experience Thy faithfulness and Thy kindness during the evening hours, and that in the morning we may awake refreshed and have strength and courage to take up our labors. Wilt Thou forgive us of all of our sins also of this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing psalter, Psalter 310, the stanzas 1, 2, 5, and 6. I love the Lord. For my request and humble plea, He makes His care. In Him through life my face shall rest, for He both hears and answers prayer. And what follows, 310, 1, 2, 5, and 6.
receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.